good.
Yeah?
What's up, Kevin?
How are you?
I'm good.
Tara?
Good.
Good. Y'all, thank you so much for being. This is a live recording at Galleria F of our podcast on WGN Radio called The Corner Store. Thank you so much for being here this evening. How are you? How's your week? We have not been together
since... I have not
seen
you in a while, Kevin.
Since the other... Since we were across the ocean.
Yes.
Yeah. It is nice to see you stateside.
Yes. Also, yeah. It's a nice day outside.
It's a beautiful... Yeah. How was your day?
It was good. I stayed inside and wrote.
Yeah. For...
Most of it. Every time. You do this every time. Complex.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Tara writes news for Complex. So constantly is scouring the interconnected networks to try to find the hot take on the hot story.
Yeah, the world is depressing.
Yeah.
That's not breaking news.
Okay,
It's super,
today yeah. Again, you're here to report the world is depressing.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's all right.
Should we bring up our first?
Yeah, well, look, I'm excited to bring up our first guest. We have a double bill tonight.
We do.
And I think we're going to have a really important conversation about a lot of stuff, you know, including kind of the state of, like, street graffiti art in Chicago. Probably, I think, the role in community and even, like, changing neighborhoods. Our first guest tonight, of course, is the gallerist, the curator, an incredible artist in his own right, a printmaker, someone who I consider to be kind of the, you know, official mayor of Milwaukee Avenue, someone who is a giant advocate for art and artists, someone who has made this city a lot more beautiful by advocating for the work of many, many artists who have been criminalized. And so, you know, the reason why we're here tonight is because of Billy Craven. So make some noise for Billy Craven, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Yes, a little water if you get parched, you know?
Yeah, welcome to your gallery and welcome to the corner store.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space.
Thank you.
We want to offer you some snacks.
Yes, before. You are technically in the corner store now, your gallery.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I know you're comfortable here.
Ooh.
Shit.
Sound effects.
Yeah, I'm glad I put the cap on. So, all right. So, Billy, so first to begin with... I got you some mango nectar.
I'm all about the mango nectar.
Okay, good.
Interesting.
That's a nice bottle,
work?
Right?
Yeah.
Also, how do you say that, the brand? Is it Jumex?
Jumex,
thank you. Okay. I want to read the Jew in there, just me, myself, personally. And my hope is that there was some sort of Mexican hybrid of a Jewish
juice?
Mexican. There's
the
a lot of Jews
pressed?
In Mexico City. Oh. Yeah, the Jews are pressed.
Obviously.
Yeah, right, exactly.
How's that... Is it E? It's J-E?
Humex.
J-U. Oh, I see.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to still advocate for the Jewish version. Also, some great-tasting kettle potato chips.
Peppercini
potato chips.
Pepperoni-chini.
I know. That's why I didn't pronounce it.
Pepperoncini.
Anybody know?
But it's the pepper. It's that delicious pepper you get with the pizza.
Like
that's
the jardinera. You know what's in the jardinera.
It's like fake spicy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then... I got you this because this is actually aspirational, because I want, you know, these RX bars are made in Chicago. Have you had this brand before?
My wife loves that.
Okay, good. Well, if you wish to share that with her, you are welcome to,
what
or you don't have to.
What is aspirational about
it? It's aspirational because I want them to sponsor us.
Oh!
Yeah. So I'm
shout
just
out RX
it,
Bar.
I'm putting
y'all
it out into the world.
Y'all the best bars in
the world?
Yeah. I'm putting bars for the bar? No.
Hey,
okay.
I'm putting it out into the world. So anyway, man, welcome to the corner store. Thank you for hosting us this evening. If you want, drink, eat, be merry.
No, I don't need anybody to watch me choke right now.
That's fair.
We didn't sponsor that comment.
Right, yeah. RX bars would never make you choke.
Y'all do no wrong.
They only keep you going in a healthy environment for a healthy mind.
There are
mind.
Only three ingredients. That's amazing.
No
how?
BS. Anyway, I don't know. Yeah, man. Well, so how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't have a lot of time. I mean, I know you have a big story. I guess, you know, just to begin with, I overheard earlier, you said your parents had sex in Chicago.
Yes, because Tara was asking where I was from, if I was from Chicago. I said, well, technically, because my parents were driving through here, had... unmarried sex. So, I am a bastard. So other people say they're from Chicago. I can prove I'm from Chicago. There was a stain in the back seat.
Wow.
Okay.
It's very graphic, right out the bat. Yeah. Do you need a minute?
No, yeah. We can move on from that.
Where were they? They were on their, were they robbing, like, why were they on tour of the country? Were they?
My dad was at boot camp, like, in the Great Lakes, and I have no idea how Chicago. I guess it's a stomping ground for sailors.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a port city of sorts.
Of sorts.
So where did you grow up?
Grew up military, so mostly West Coast. All over California, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia. Spent 20 years in Hawaii, lived in Guam. Me and my wife lived in New York. So,
yeah,
all over.
Wait, I know Hawaii was a big and important space for you in your development. I guess that's where you kind of became or started to become who you are now. I mean, is that where you got your start in making art, in gallery practice? How did all of that come about?
I'd always been making art in one way or another. I used to BMX a lot, like original, you know, OG BMX, you know, so...
Not like a lot of the, like, new fake shit. I feel like that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. These soft, like, pegless BMX mugs.
Yeah, I mean, like, back in the day, like, in the... You know, I graduated high school in 81, so I was BMXing several years before I graduated
BMXing?
High school.
Yeah.
Bicycle motocross.
No, I know. Yeah. I was never heard of BMXing.
What kind of bike?
Well, the first bikes that I built were basically just anything I could...
Oh, you built them?
Not so subtle flex.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, yeah. Like, I built these
shits. Here with all the, you know, crafts and handiwork. And,
yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever I could gank from some other kid, basically just scrap a bunch of pieces together.
Wait, what kind of criminal were you? You were just like going around the neighborhood?
So you stole people's bikes and took them apart?
70, it was the 70s, the law of BMX.
Yeah, okay.
Lawless, you mean.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. You could be a bully in the 70s and it wasn't that big of a thing. Now they have all the anti-bullying campaigns. Bullying was like cool in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, it was. You know, I mean, if you look back at the fashion, you know, we had
we do not condone bullying.
So we had the right to bully because our shorts could only go this high.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that has to do with.
Well, he walked around in those in the teabagging all day long.
I didn't expect it to go this way.
Yeah, look. I mean, it's starting off very well. So you were into bicycles.
Yeah, and what I would do for spare change is basically build custom parts, BMX parts for all the neighborhood kids.
Oh.
I also would build, because my dad worked for the Navy, so we had a lot of tools and equipment in the garage, so I would also build skateboards for the neighborhood kids just to raise some, you know, spare change to do with whatever I would want.
And what years were you making skateboards?
Oh, like late 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, late 70s.
Because that was the first real wave of skateboarding then, right?
It was the wave. Well, it was the... it was sort of one of the earlier waves, yeah. There was a 60s wave, and that died down. But when I started skateboarding, it was steel wheels, then clay wheels, and then some bastard down the block got urethane, and we were all like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
I don't know what that is, so...
It's the soft rubber ones.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Let the shit ride for a long
and
time,
like
as opposed to crumble.
Right, or like the I don't know. I don't know anything about skateboarding.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's around the time. I mean, because like the Dogtown Boys were like starting to make a lot of noise, and after that time, skateboarding went kind of pop, right, for a little bit.
Yeah, and then it died, and then it had a rebirth.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow, that's really fascinating. And so, what were you listening to music-wise around that time? Because I mean, if you're in high school when that's all occurring,
it was a great time to listen to music because everything was new, everything was fresh. So, you know, it was, the Stoner Boys down the block were listening to, like, you know, Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix, and that was just blowing my mind. And then, you know, I liked a lot of P-Funk, so I grew up like listening to Parliament and Funkadelic, anything that was like that. Soul, everybody loves soul, so you know it was good because you could love like all different types of music and nobody really like judged you, and it was all fresh, you know.
Yeah, And then, so, but you remember then the advent of hip hop and kind of the, like, also, the, I guess really in some ways, like the advent of punk.
Yeah, yeah. In 81, when I just about to graduate, sorry, I'm sweating and my nose is running.
No, it's okay. We like sound effects, so if you need to blow your nose.
Word. Yeah, you know, I mean, punk, yeah. When hip hop and, well, it wasn't even hip hop, but, you know, rap and punk rock came around, that was also just like, you know, just blew my mind and changed, you know, changed how I saw things. You know, it was a very fresh time to hear music. You know, I mean, everything you heard was brand new. Nobody had done it before. Nobody was recycling anything because, you know, everybody was creating the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
When did, you know, you transition from making bikes and bike parts and skateboards to making art?
I'd done stencil work, like with the BMX stuff, you know, a lot of, and I would paint on glass and paint on mirror, and I would try to draw, but, you know, I've always been, like, super hypercritical about what I can draw and what I can paint, and so I don't draw and I don't paint, and then fast forward to, like, 30, 40 years later to, like, not that long ago, I decided I wanted to screen print because... it was easier to cheat, you know. It was a lot easier to cheat because, you know, to paint and draw, you got to have skills. And, you know, granted, screen printing is, you know, it does require some skill, but there's a lot you can do to hide the fact that you can't draw.
Well, I have a screen print of yours where it's an aerosol can that you turned into a body. Maybe it's an old aerosol.
It's an old advertisement for Krylon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to basically hijack old advertisements because they're super, to me, like the old advertisements were extremely analog because the people creating the advertisements, everything was done by hand. There were no computers to do all your Photoshop and vectoring out your art and stuff like that. So, you know, you had a room full of people just cranking out drawings and Letraset, rubbing off the, you know, letters. And it was a very analog time. It was extremely hands-on. And I like recycling all of those old advertisements and pieces for magazine because at a time these are created, you know, for the most part, these images or pages were never scanned and put onto the interwebs, and so I like to give them new life.
Well, it's just sampling. I mean, you're, like, remixing those ads in order to make them fresh again, which is incredibly...
And making them available to people, you know?
Yeah, that's what people do with old records. You do with old ads. It's like hip-hop shit, really.
Yep.
You know? Yeah, which is dope.
You like comparing everything to hip-hop, though. So.
I do. I'll be like, oh, well, how you breathe is actually...
It's a good lens to view the world through. I agree.
Yeah. No, your sniffle is like mad like Wu-Tang, you know what I'm saying? Solid.
All right, I'm done with you.
Okay, that's fair. Yet again. So tell us about this space. I mean, this is honestly, I think, as you know, one of my
also,
favorite
what,
places.
What brought him back to Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Brought me back to Chicago, me and my wife, when we were living in New York...
Who's in the building, by the way?
My wife is in the building.
Nice to see you. Yes, yes.
We were having our first and only child, Sophia.
Also in the building.
Also in the building.
about your parents, but you know, I'm not going to touch that.
Yeah. we were living in Brooklyn, and you know, we were having a baby, and the price of babysitters in New York is insane. You know, you get it like a full time nanny, and it's like, you know, you don't have to go to school to be a nanny. You can still make like $40,000-$50,000 a year. And I'm like, fuck this. Let's move back to Chicago.
Where nannies are mad underpaid.
Where they are mad underpaid.
Where we exploit the shit out of our nannies.
Yeah. Nannies don't know any better here.
They have no rights here. Yeah.
So, no, you know, I mean, closer to my wife's family. My wife grew up here in Chicago, out in the burbs.
Hey.
And it's a lot easier to... bring the child to see the grandparents on the weekends and
very
supplying from Brooklyn every week.
Also, they're your nanny, right? Like your...
Yeah.
they're committed.
They
family
are committed
obligation.
By blood.
For life. Yes. Nannies for life.
Yeah,
right.
Blood nannies.
Yes, blood nannies.
Nice. So that brought you back here. And then when did you... I mean, maybe tell us about the origin of the you know, this beautiful space that we're in, which is it honestly is one of my favorite spaces in Chicago. You already know I bring every school group that I ever have the occasion to travel with.
My class is here too.
Right, Tara's class has been here. We saw, I think, for the we saw Scent Rocks exhibition here with your class. Scent Rocks in the building, by the way. Shout out.
Who has a show later this year?
Yeah. And also, if people are listening, if they've not already heard, they could go back and listen to Scent Rock on the Corner Store.
Yes. So originally I opened the gallery just over 6 years ago. At that time I had a partner, and I no longer do. We were printing out of the same studio, and it was a conversation I'd always had with them. I'd always just talk about basically the pure number of printmakers in Chicago and the Midwest in general is just like there are so many printmakers here, but there really aren't any independent galleries that focus on printmaking. And so it was just like a reoccurring conversation that I always had about that. And then documenting street art and graffiti for like the last almost 20 years, I really didn't see independent galleries also focus on the community. So as an artist, loosely said,
I consider you an artist. I don't know.
As an artist, and then as a consumer, a person who wants to be able to go into a gallery and see, you know, artists in the community, you know, that focus on printmaking or street art. I didn't see that happening here. And so, you know, would always just bitch and moan about it. And then one day, you know, with the person who was soon to be my partner in this venture, we just said, hey, why don't we just do it ourselves and open a gallery? We opened up a block away from where we are now about 6 years ago. We've been in this location. It's a much larger location.
A beautiful location.
And thank you.
And now you have two spaces.
Yeah. We have the downstairs we call, the main floor, you know, obviously the gallery is called Gallery F. And the downstairs is called Gallery F Underground. But if you can see on the door there, it says FU for
really into that.
F Underground.
Really into that. FU.
FU,
also
FU. Yeah.
But the opposite of foo, anyway.
And why Galleria F? I thought you
Well, the F had to do with the studio I was printing out of.
Okay.
It was the first letter of the studio.
Yeah.
Which was?
Something else.
Began with an F.
Okay, we're not plugging it
clearly.
F-U.
Clearly.
Well, Webster's Dictionary, the what do you call it? define the word that the F starts
as. I just want to be, Billy is only drank water tonight. I just want to say that for the record. I've only seen him drink water. I don't know what he was drinking prior to us getting
here. I also had like a whole bag
That's
of
none
Swedish
of my business,
fish.
Though,
so. Oh, well, those, yeah. Yeah. Those contain microdoses of acid.
Anywho, the F would be the first letter in the word that Webster's Dictionary would define as dark, damp, and uncomfortable.
Oh.
And if you're a printmaker, technically you're working in dark, damp, and uncomfortable situations all the time.
There you go.
Clearly, yes.
Clearly, like right now.
So one of my favorite things about this gallery is that it extends onto the street. A lot of times, you know, there are artists who will show here or who have work here for sale, who also you end up helping to secure outside space. First of all, that's my understanding, right? You've been securing outdoor public space for artists to paint on for a long time and have had a big impact in the visual space of Logan Square.
Yeah, I mean, that was always, you know, ever since I spent more time living here, you know, I would always come to check out the wall that was across the street. That is across the street there, sorry. Flash ABC wall. And that was always like my point for coming to this neighborhood. It was my, you know, that's where I would come. And then I would walk every alley, every single alley up and down the street, and then back again, you know. And there were a lot of, when I used to live in Chicago, because I've lived in Chicago before living in New York, and I would always walk up and down this street, and it was always like board ups and buff. And I just really hated the shit out of that because, you know, it didn't make you feel like there was anybody living here. You know, it's like if you're driving through here, you made sure your door was locked, the window was rolled up a little bit higher, you know, and you just go run the light. But, you know, when we when opened the gallery 6 years ago, it would still look, this, you know, for the most part, the same on the main thoroughfare. And so I just started reaching out to property owners asking for permission. I'm like, yo, you've got a lot of gang graffiti on there. What if we help and add some color to that? And I found that it ended up being, it ended up working to our benefit because the property owners, were once we would commission a mural to get put up over their board up, for the most part, you would stop seeing gang graffiti over on the same place.
Yeah.
So, you know, it became beneficial to the neighborhood, and not to mention all the tens of thousands of dollars annually that the city isn't spending on buffing something.
Yeah. And how many walls up and down the avenue have you had a hand in then at this point?
Lots.
A lot. Okay, yeah.
Lots, yeah. We do try to recycle a lot of them out as well. Because, you know, I mean, there's always board ups, but, you know, the banks own most of them. So the banks ain't going to give you shit. But, you know, property owners down the block, like the Greetings from Chicago mural that we worked with Greetings Tour and via a friend of ours, Muse 126, he introduced us to Greetings Tour several years back. That's like easily the most photographed mural in all of Chicago. And it hasn't been tagged since its installation. But Murphy's Law, now that I said that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that I said that shit, everybody's going to go and crush it.
Tara's going out later to put her name over it. Yeah.
When did it go up?
A few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll catch a young noodle cup tag on the outside of it tonight.
Yeah. Little thought.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you know what? I want to pause there because we're going to, the wall that you mentioned, we have our second guest in the building.
Right on.
And so I want to, what I would love to do is bring Flash up, talk with him for a few minutes, and then we're all going to talk again. Is that cool? Does that sound like a plan?
Like a plan.
All right. Y'all make some noise for Billy Craven one time. Yeah. And if you wish to, store your snacks. That's good. Okay. The Jumex. That's good. All right. So our second guest is a Chicago legend, someone who is an organizer of communities, of writers, an avid bicyclist, someone who has put on, I would say, an original OG in the Chicago hip-hop scene, ABC crew, someone who has held down Project Logan, the wall across the street from here on Milwaukee Avenue in Fullerton, for a very long time. Someone who has consistently put on for the culture of Chicago and hip-hop culture in this city. Without further ado, y'all, make some noise for Flash. How you doing, man?
All right, doing good.
Good. Yo, we got snacks for you, too.
That was very kind. Thank you.
Oh, these are all facts.
Kevin always comes through with the really good
These are all facts. These are only facts. Look, we have some snacks for you as well. Don't think we only gave snacks to Billy. Also have a Jumex.
Nice.
Wrong.
Damn. All right. I'm going to call it Jumex. Worldwide excellence. That sounds like Jumex.
I'm Puerto Rican. I mispronounce everything.
Okay, good. So that's some mango juice.
Really offensive.
Jumex?
Yeah, saying it wrong
I could
on
say
purpose.
It. No, I'm saying.
Jumex.
I'm trying to rep for like my Humex. I know, but all right. Anyway. Also, our aspirational sponsor, RX Bar, is offering you a chocolate sea salt bar.
Shout out.
Yeah,
RX.
Shout out to
Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank,
oh, see? Look, we're going to get a flash of the commercial.
Okay.
Also, some crinkle cut kettle potato chips, dill pickle. Flavor for you. I don't know if you like pickles, but again, the go with the Jew aspect of the juice.
We
anyway,
will try these at home. I will be invaded by my daughters as soon as I walk in.
So yeah, man. So let's. So you are a Logan Squarian.
Okay, I was born in Humboldt Park.
Okay, damn.
But was only there for a couple of years.
Then he moved right.
Okay,
was
okay.
Burned out by the gangs of the 72. So by 72, my parents are the real Logan Squareheads because they're still there and they own a house. And on that block is Whipple and Schubert. And B-Boy B was across the street. He started the crew ABC. And then on the other block is DJ Nonstop. So And then we had Pilot, ABC, and RIS. So there was a whole bunch of us on Schubert and Whipple. And we kind of felt like we were surrounded by the gangs at that time. This is 1979 through 83. Mm-hmm. And I can point out to you when I do reviews where there was a gang on every corner around here. Everywhere around here, it was not like this. It was very dark. Like you said, there were a lot of board-ups. My friend B-Boy B came from New York one time and started talking about what the kids were doing in New York. And this is in 1979.
And what was he doing there? First of all, shout out B-Boy B.
Yes.
Also an incredible journalist. Yeah. You know, true B-Boy in the sense where he does like so many of the elements so well. But what was he doing in New York? He was just visiting?
Yeah, his parents took him to New York. And in those days, you always went a summer away.
Yeah.
Because you were bad. I went to Puerto Rico.
Hey.
But B-Boy B went. And then we all came back and we were all talking about, oh, how was it in Puerto Rico? And then B-Boy was like, you know what? In New York, they're doing this thing where they're painting very heavily. It has its dance. It has its speaking. It has all four elements. It's not, and we're going to bring it over here. And I really didn't understand.
That sounds incredible.
At this time,
it at that time?
So I'll tell you the story. We went down to Sacramento Avenue right underneath the Kennedy, and he put up a Birdo and Tony. And if you imagine, we're all like little kids out there, and we're all praising, hey, go get another guy. And we'll go. So next you know, there's 20 kids out there seeing this piece. It was a Tony. All these pieces you can see on artisticbombingcrew.com. We show nothing but the 80s of Logan Square in there.
Right.
But he had this piece, Tony and Birdo, and it had this Chicago skyline and everything. And it was fascinating, and then to the point that the police came. And the police came, and they're like, what are y'all doing there? And he goes, oh, man, we're checking out this new painting. Oh, that's gang graffiti. No, it's not. It's hip-hop. Who did it? Me, B-Boy. All right, get in the car. And
you ratted there, on yourself.
Your first Chicago arrest for graffiti for Chicago. But we understood there. It was different than what we saw. I grew up watching black and blue, black and gray, black and white, gang colors. You go to the place on, where was it though? Come on, Ray, where was it that they used to get the gang sweaters? The flea market. Then you go to the flea market and it was advertised there. There was a guy, he would sell the gang sweaters. So to say that gang influence wasn't hardcore in Chicago, it was. It started in the 20s and didn't stop until the 80s. And I feel that by what we did there in that neighborhood, and we started to spread it around throughout the neighborhoods. My friend there, Ray, he was doing it at Mozart School. We started to understand that there was an element and that we were doing something that was the same as the Renaissance. And that was very deep for kids to start understanding that the Renaissance had its four cultures. We had our four cultures. So, is that good? I was getting away from it. What was it? So we understood it early. And like Billy said, there was a whole, it was a mosh posh of skateboarders, BMXers, graffiti artists, dance groups. And they would all come to the Eagle in Logan Square.
Yeah, there was a meeting.
And we would practice and have meetings, jump on to the back of the Mega Mall, open the door. That door was open. It's still open.
Oh, the Mega Mall. They tore that down.
We were the first ones up there. And then open the door. You go through. You get on and you see a whole city.
Wow.
We got away from the neighborhood. We saw the neighborhood from above. Mm. And it was crazy.
That's insane.
It was like, because we feel that graffiti got us out of our neighborhood. Every kid that I grew up with right now says, oh, I can't go to that neighborhood. I don't have that problem. Because I was a graffiti artist and I looked like one. And there was people teaching us, like Nick Salsa, telling us how they were. All you had to do was look
at
names.
So you could move between different neighborhoods with
these. We were moving between all these different neighborhoods.
That's crazy.
We would go to the south side. I went up to Oak Park, learned about the architecture that was living over there. Everything. I mean,
But how did you get that pass? Right? Because it's not like you're walking through these neighborhoods scot-free, right? I mean, you're not.
And that's the thing. If you, I was probably always overgrown. And you can ask Trickster. I always had this presence that you see now where I would look at you straight in the face. I've had people pull guns out on my friends and say, you're not going to do that. It's not going to happen here tonight. Look, we're about this. We're about, he's dressed like that because of this.
Right.
And we would explain hip-hop. Nah, they're from New York, can't you tell? I saved many lives.
They thought you were from hip-hop or from New York?
Well, in a sense, they knew that we weren't gangbangers.
Okay.
When you looked at a graffiti artist back in the day, even though, and I want to say this, we started the straight-legged pants in Logan Square back in the day. We were all tying them up like this, and then we would put on All-Stars, but then we would put the fat laces from New York.
Mm.
So, you know,
yes.
we created our own.
Stop.
Then we go to the alley and get the belt buckle, the chain, and everything. Then you put on the jean jacket and the
bust
jean jacket.
Okay.
Jean jacket always had a piece. And that was the thing that I think got us through the neighborhoods because they like, oh, look at this guy. He's just like
yeah,
an
you sound
artist.
Way different, right?
He's way
yeah.
different. He's got his jacket painted. He's not involved. And I will say this. You could ask Nick. It does happen. It does happen when the gang just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And you got to learn how to back off.
Right.
Nick Sasa had his shoes taken away, even though he had fat laces and blue. But what are you going to do when you have a gun?
You got to take that L,
you
right?
You take that element. But you go back and you don't forget that that you're growing. No matter what, I feel, and what I'm known for is something that I did between 79 and 87. That's it. Then I went on to become a progressive member of society.
Well, all right. Well, let's talk briefly about that time.
I'm more interested in the
non-progressive. 79,
87. It was beautiful.
What were you doing?
Running around here, getting up on rooftops. The Hollander was, we popped all these rooftops as cherries. We can actually say as a crew called ABC. If you go look at this, this was our canvases, these rooftops. And we knew, because I got the name given to me by Angel Scene Perez. He went to New York and met the scene over there.
Oh, wow.
And was painting that name over here. So we had this whole scene going where we would get on the train and all of a sudden people were paying attention. You see their heads move. You know, before, you know, you're on the train, those were the old trains. They were raggedy and the lights would flicker and everybody would look out the window, but nobody would look out. When we started to ride the trains, we knew other graffiti artists because we were always trying to look out the
right,
little
you could
window.
Identify them, yeah.
They're trying to peep a spot?
What the painting was. Like yeah,
Super Transfer Sunday was our thing to go out and look at the new pieces.
You got
that
free transfers
would put,
or something?
That people would ride, and you see the new pieces on the line.
Yeah.
Did y'all paint on the subway cars?
Yes.
So what began to differentiate Chicago style from New York? I mean, inevitably, when you inherit when any city inherits the export of the culture, there's a brief period where there's a mimic, but then inevitably Chicago begins to develop its own style. What were some of the distinctions between Chicago style and other spaces?
I'm wearing the shirt of the guy that gave me this, okay?
Yeah.
Pengo.
Ah, yeah.
If you go look at a documentary called I Write on Stuff.
Which is a great documentary.
And then you go to, when you see the guy talking that has this shirt, he actually explains it. Chicago is about balance and flow, where New Yorkers are hiding their letters and hiding this and hiding that. If you ever notice, you can sometimes read the graffiti when you're on the train from Chicago, because Chicago graffiti artists want you to know their name. They put it out there, big blockbuster letters. They have the arrow on this side and the arrow on that side. That's what I'm talking about, balance and flow.
Mm.
If I take a ruler stick to one of Pengo's letters and put it on that side and then come down to this side, that dimension is the same inches. I've done it to Trickster. If you want to, Google Trickster. Trickster is the
legend.
Godfather of graffiti letter forming
style,
in Chicago.
Style, yeah.
And this is stuff that has been set for years, like he said. You mimic what you see. But after a while, art is about revolting. And we revolted against New York. There was a time where you couldn't talk about New York graffiti over here.
Mm.
And these gentlemen, and there's a few of them, you know, we'll say their names, they're all these old schoolers that they started their own letter formation. And you understand. And if you're a fan of graffiti, how I am, where they bring me back in 2003 and they put Revise and all these guys across, and you're just like, oh wow, it's really gone that far.
Right.
And that's what people have to understand. What you see that starts out as a mosquito tag evolves into a butterfly, into a flower, because every artist that starts out as a tagger, they evolve. Everybody starts out sketching.
Especially if they have the space to do so.
Yes.
Right? Which is part of the reason why, I mean, I met Pengo, yeah. I knew the name and I knew the work, but I met him at the wall across the street at Project Logan.
Yes.
You know, which has become such an important space for writers to continue to practice, develop style, show big letters. What is the evolution of this incredibly beautiful space that you've...
When we've been painting that wall since the 80s. Well, the old man, Rel, if you ever look him up on the internet, another one with Chicago styles. But when I came back in 2003...
From?
And they introduced me to graffiti, and we started doing the internet.
Where were you coming from where?
I was coming from society.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
I left in 87. By 1987, I'm in basic training. And when I got out of basic training, I looked and I was like, oh my God, I have 7 years to make up with no schools and I got a kid coming. So yes, I went to school during the day and on college at night for 5 to 6 years just to get what I got. Mm-hmm. I became a mechanical draftsman. I love to draw. I'm still drawing. I work with a sports company having fun with equipment. But when I came back, and I started to see it on the internet in 2003. Those are the early years of the internet. And people start communicating with us. And we created that page that it would shut it down. So then we went and we created a forum. And in the forum, graffiti artists have been talking on the internet forever. They were probably the first ones talking. Well, in this forum, we started to communicate what we set up. And I started to see this community. And I would go to the South Side. Pilsen, I painted Boogie Down Park, I painted Crawford Steel. I was invited to every wall on the South Side from 2003 to 2008. And then I said, man, why can't we do this over here? And every time I would try, we don't do that kind of art over here. That belongs on the South Side. Everything that was thrown at me was thrown at me. But I said, you know what? I'm a fan of this art. I know what we can do. One day, they were painting on the children's side. I work with Any Square, that's who runs the other side of the wall that doesn't get painted over. And they had all these kids painting. They did an outline, and they just had all these kids spray painting, and I was like, man, I want to be a part of something like that. So I watched Tracy, she's the one that runs Any Square, local artist, been living here for 50 years, was involved in the Milwaukee Avenue Arts Festivals when they first started. So I told her, let's do the other sides. And she's like, you know, that was a lot of work. And I said, no, you don't understand. I can bring artists.
We were quicker.
I bet you I could rotate all those walls once a month. And it's like, no way. Do it. And then,
also, your impression of Annie is hilarious.
It's also a pitch. I wish a pitch like that works now.
So I did start talking to all the people that got me to paint. And if you go down from 26th and Kedzie all the way to 63rd, there are permission walls, and those permission walls are run by crews. I'm the old schooler, and I saw an opportunity where I said, why don't you guys come help me so we can start doing something different? And I want to call it a project because I don't think it was going to last the way we got so much stuff thrown at us. You know, so I called it Project Logan. Mm-hmm. And I think, and what has happened is that I finally wrapped it around. It has 7 spots. 2 spots are rotated monthly. I have 1 tall section that we do dedication or get street artists on to do murals. But that corner alley end is 2 artists every 2 weeks. Hmm. And I schedule it and they come. And
you get artists to show up on time?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. And that's the magic powers.
You know, and they
out
understood.
Of respect.
Out of respect.
Clearly has magic powers.
And we understand when you stand there and paint as a graffiti artist and that train rumbles on your back, it does have a good feeling of what you grew up doing. Mm. And what you know, when you're out there in the middle of the night and the only thing that you know is secure is that train sound, because it's your sense of direction where you are. These walls are dark at night. If you think about what graffiti artists do, they do it in the pitch black of night. You get up there and you go up there and you paint, and you got, you feel like you're exposed to the world, like everybody can see you. And you do it, and you don't go back, and you don't look. You're done. Now we have permission. Well, like,
yo, I'll be back next week, Flash. Flash is a poet, too, by the way.
Flash, hold on to the wall. You know, don't let him go over it. But.
Yo. Well, that, you know, I think it's a good segue to bring Billy back up. Let's because back. You guys have also collaborated recently on trying to preserve this wall. So if we could welcome back Billy Craven. Where'd Billy go? Oh, here he is. Yeah, one more time. Make some noise for Flash, too, by the way. Should be working. Will you check your mic, Billy?
Yeah. Nope.
No?
Dead.
That sounds like it's working.
No, nothing.
Is it working? What'd you put in my Jumex?
Maybe turn
it up. I got mine.
All right.
Hello?
Okay, great.
I'm back.
All right. So,
can you hear me?
So, first of all, welcome back, Billy.
Thank you.
How was your break?
Oh, it was good.
Okay.
I was enjoying my mango nectar.
Good. Did you have more Swedish fish, or are you laid off?
I'm laying off. With
okay,
those
good.
Things
good choice.
Kill me.
Oh, I thought you were eating goldfish earlier. Okay, Swedish fish.
Swedish fish.
Yeah, I'm a little sugar high. Okay. Yeah.
So how long have you guys known each other?
I want to say as long as I've had the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just about that,
years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Around there.
Right.
I know him as he was on Flickr first. So he,
as a documentarian.
Yeah, documentarian.
Yeah.
He was always on Flickr documenting, and I was like, man, I was just there. So that's where I first saw him.
Yeah, that was like my exposure to community, especially when I moved back here from New York. I was just documenting. I was really excited by this thing called social media, and Flickr was a place to store photos and see shit happening all over the world. And even in your community, it was like, you know, it's like Flash said, it's like, you know, you were just there, and you haven't even uploaded your photos, and then somebody beat you that you follow, and they uploaded you. Fuck. So I was like always like out hunting,
so
and
it
always
wasn't just me. It wasn't just me thinking like that.
No,
you was on point, man.
and still are.
Yeah, your
really,
Instagram,
right?
It's, you know, you're
popping. You're out in these streets.
Yeah, every day I'm uploading, and you know, on my personal photos, on my personal Instagram, I got like almost 20,000 photos on there. And then on the gallery one, which I try to keep more dedicated to the artists that we work with in the gallery. And then Flickr. I haven't touched Flickr in a minute, but, you know, I mean, was like
has,
around
though, you know?
15, 16.
Flickr's kind of dead.
Yeah.
But, you
know. Rest in peace.
Right.
But I still love Flickr because you can tag the hell out of your photos. And with the negative with Instagram is you can only search for like one tag at a time. You can't do like in Flickr. You could tag you could search a whole bunch of different tags, and it'll pull up photos that have those tags in the description. With Instagram, you can't do that, and you can folder everything, and much easier on Flickr.
Yeah.
But most people, you know,
are just on doing it for the gram.
Yeah.
There's a lovely spatial relationship that you guys share. I mean, a lot of times when I'll bring people to the gallery, it'll be maybe on a weekend where people are painting the wall. And so, you know, you guys have shared the space and seen the development and the change. Of course, Flash, that you've seen this over generations at this point. But what are some of the things that you all, in your time here in Logan Square, have seen the neighborhood begin to go through in these last, you know, six plus years?
Ooh. You know, as somebody who watched the band start, I mean, this is the ward that started the band on spray paint.
Right.
You know, and to see, you know, we were attacked, and now to see all this develop here, it's kind of like a love-hate relationship at times. Because I'm older, and I've seen this development going on, and then in the past 6 years, there's a development going on that even I feel I'm watching people get pushed out that are painting. But like, I think that's the fight that we all live through in our lives, that the right to paint. I see him doing it in this neighborhood. And I want that. We want to continue to paint in this neighborhood. This is where we grew up. We started something. And in the last, even with the breakdown of the Mega Mall, that was awesome. That was an awesome job, just so you know. I have one of the last bricks. I have an amusement brick in my backyard.
Oh, right on.
You know, yeah. We need more spaces. And that's why I'm here with Billy. In a sense, I have a whole community, like I said, that I could keep rotating. And we would like to put these artists in displays on other places. And with all these Vidocq's buildings being built, we need to work together more. He's running the gallery, and that's what he wants to do. I don't want to do that. I want to be out there in the streets making sure that I got something to photograph. Mm. You know, when it all comes down to it, I see Logan Square, and I have such a, like a dark, you know, a love relationship to it that I want the people to know that are coming in here, you know, that something started here a long time ago, and they need to respect it and flourish it. And working with Billy, hopefully he understands. I believe that Billy understands that, you know, that these artists that he has in here have deep Chicago roots. And they love, it's something about Logan Square. I don't understand it, but I do, because it was so bad and then it turned so good that the people that turned it good, are they being pushed out?
Well, you no longer live here yourself, right?
You know, I feel it. I'm living where I want right now, because I want to live with my family.
Right.
But for the first time in 50 years, a lot of people don't know, I live by Harlem and Irving. And then when I pedaled the city last year, because I moved over here, I actually pedaled every weekend back and forth to this wall, and I seen everybody that I know up by the brickyard, up by this, up by, hey, that's this guy's car. Yeah, we've been pushed out, but we're still going to keep coming back. I'll be there every weekend as long as that property's like that, just so people can paint.
It seems like the wall means that much more now that, you know, the neighborhood's changed.
Well, the wall's for sale.
Oh.
Right. So that. So that. Because recently you guys
welcome to Logan Square.
Right.
It changes that quick.
Yeah, that's
wild. And it does. And this is a wall that, like I said, he painted on there as a kid.
Yeah.
We painted on there, and then we kept painting. But I knew when I saw, I've been standing here for 6 years, and when I saw that big tower grow up across the street from Milwaukee, California, I said,
hideous.
This is going to be Tower City.
Yeah.
There will be nothing but towers in Logan Square.
Well, you guys collaborate. I mean, I see it as a collaboration in order to secure or advocate for the maintenance of the wall. Can you talk about that collaboration?
So what happened was March 17th, I was riding with the Rat Patrol, going through these alleys. If you've ever seen, I go home, get on the blue line, that's St. Patrick's Day. The phone starts blowing up. But when all said and done, a police officer came and pushed the kid around to the point that I had the recording that this is not art. Gave him a ticket. We took that ticket and we held it. We went and did everything. I sat back and I said, let me shut this wall down. I think that I want to see what's going on. So I shut the wall down, and the wall hasn't been run. If you see, those productions have been up over 6 months.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see if the neighborhood still wanted to do this. I don't want to do nothing in a neighborhood where if they don't want to do this. And I feel like I went to every house, and I kept it all offline. I kept everything offline. What I did, I went back and how you do it to the streets. So yes, I walked over to Billy, and I asked him, you know, what do you think? What is going on? I see you moved out of over here. He goes, the neighborhood is changing, but we got to hold on. Flash, we got to hold on to everything. So we made a petition, and he had it here a couple of the gallery nights, and Tracy had a petition over there. And I got over 30 pages. 30 pages of
people. Yeah, I mean, thousands of signatures, right?
Yeah, we got a lot of signatures.
Lots.
And that was without putting it online, without going to Color of Change. So I wanted to see if the neighborhood still cared. And what I believe, and what I've always believed, is the neighborhood cares because they walk through there. They now can walk through there. When I first started that wall, you couldn't walk through there. It was an ugly thing. We get the artists to go in there. They don't just paint. They clean up. If you go on Project Logan on the Tumblr account, You see the productions, but you go to the first page, you see people cleaning up. My daughter came there every year and cleaned up. And if you find her on Etsy, Zombie Natalie, you can buy pieces of the wall.
Hey.
She does art. She cleaned up so much that she would take the chips, and she got earrings, pendants from the caps. And, you know,
yeah.
And I saw that and I said, wow, we need to keep progressing no matter what. And I really do believe that there's a few places around here where, you know, these walls can continue. I was telling one of you is that I came up with the name Project Logan because it should be done in Logan. But if it all comes to Flash's crazy mind, there's a Project Avondale, a Project Hermosa, a Project Dunning, a project where all artists can go and paint. Because no matter what, the ban on spray paint didn't work. They're still painting. There's a lot of people painting. We just saw a festival this weekend where it was two football fields worth of people painting, spray paint. What's the deal?
Yeah.
We'll cut that $10 million budget from the buff quickly if you just allow these places where artists could come and freely paint.
Yeah.
And the laws are written, and here's what I found out. The law is written that if you're going to go out there and vandalize, yeah, you're going to get caught up. But there is not a ban on spray paint in Chicago. There's a ban on selling it, but you can be walking down the street with a can of spray paint. And that's what I understand.
Well, that's why you can order it online, right?
Yeah, you can order it, and
people, of course,
Momentum
have been
our technologies.
Innovative. Yeah, right? But people have also been innovative. I mean, I loved, like, once the ban came into effect, people would set up on the other side of Harlem, the other side of Howard, and sell.
What did the ban
sell?
The ban caused more damage. If
of course.
You remember, etching.
Yeah, scratch
etching
bombs.
Was,
yeah, yeah.
Even I, as a when I came back, I go, really? You guys are eating your freaking hands off to fucking tag? If you ever seen a guy that does etching, yeah, they
like scratch bomb in a glass or whatever.
The etching is a liquid.
Acid.
Liquid acid, and they come and they tag with that. And it damages, it's worse, because you can never take that. They came up with a heating of the glass or something, but
yeah,
that's what the ban of spray paint got you, something worse.
Well, Billy, what is the Project Logan Wall meant for this community, and particularly for the kind of art that you have documented for so long?
Well, I mean, it being like, it's a very central part of Logan Square. People come here from all over the world, and it's become essentially a landmark with the community, you know, both local and global. You know, and with artists constantly cycling in and refreshing it. It's always changing, and you know, a lot of times we'll hear people bitch and moan. It's like, oh, you know, I didn't get to flick the last one. It's like, you know, well, that's life. You know, it's public art. You know, that's just my brick. whether it be graffiti or street art, you know, it's not intended to last forever. It's ephemeral. You know, and it's constantly refreshed. You know, constantly changing out, and that's the nature of the game. So,
what is, just, you know, maybe briefly, like, what is the future of this wall? You said it's for sale.
I'll keep painting it until the structure is there.
Right. Okay.
That's
right.
What the permit says for.
Okay.
If new owners come in, you know, I've always worked with people.
You're a charming guy.
You seem pretty persuasive,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, right.
I think we
want to see what
done,
they do.
You know?
We
right.
want to
okay.
see, you know,
you
as it goes along. Ray was saying it was only part of the property. Who knows what happens?
Yeah.
If not, we go to another wall. I do believe the 606 with their expansion, they still have 2.7 miles of that we can paint. And I agreed to do the 606, thinking that that's what was going to happen there.
Right, and when it first opened.
And we want to keep pushing that.
Yeah.
And I keep pushing them.
Yeah. Well, and they should use that space and constantly refresh it in the same way that you all both are constantly changing the wall. So artists have the continuation of their ability to practice.
Yeah, that's turning into a big landmark.
Yeah, people like Flash and myself, you know, as like, you know, individual soldiers are doing what other cities do and fund, You know, we everything, you know, for the most part, what we put together or what we help facilitate comes out of the pockets of ourselves or the artists that we work with. Yeah. You go to other cities that aren't even near as populated as us, and they earmark just, you know, buttloads of money to public arts, you know, and
as a way to really resuscitate sometimes downtown business areas, or a way to like bring back tourist interest into coming to a particular area.
Exactly, and that's like one of the main reasons why, especially up and down Milwaukee, you know, my whole preaching point was, you know, if we beautify the neighborhood, the city isn't wasting money painting it brown, and people will come to the neighborhood and spend money in the bodega or in the coffee shop or in the new bar. Yeah. You know, so money comes back, and we get people from all over the world that come into the gallery, because I talk to every single person that comes in here, finding out where they're from and what they're doing in Logan Square. Because not that long ago, like you said, Flash, is you could not roll through here safely. No. I mean, I think even at 7-Eleven, you used to be able to buy gang sweaters back in the day.
Yeah.
You go in there and you buy your sweater. From what I hear from other people that lived in this neighborhood their whole life, you know, go in there and buy your sweater and come out and get jacked, you know. So it wasn't always a very safe place. And it was boarded up for many, many years. And now people come here and they give their money to the neighborhoods, you know. And it has its good and its bad. And I'm not going to argue that here.
Questions for you guys. Are you guys open to maybe taking some questions from our incredibly fresh and lovely audience?
Always.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay. So
except about painting on the wall. I see them out there. No.
So what we'd like to do, just you know, for a few minutes, is maybe open it up. If you have a question for Flash, for Billy, about anything that we've covered tonight, or about, you know, their practice as curators, as artists, as community organizers, you know, please feel free to holler. Maybe you could stand up and come to the microphone so we could also record you so we could hear your voice on the podcast. Maybe you could say your name and answer or, you know, say a question, but also actually ask a question. You know, what I don't love about Q&As that are open is like when you kick your like 15-minute dissertation about why your, you know, own curatorial practice is fresh, and then
don't plug your mixtape.
Exactly. Thank you. Although I'll listen to the shit later. But all right, so does anyone have a question for Billy or Flash? Okay, yeah. You want to come to the mic and introduce yourself, please? Thanks, Tara.
Hi, I'm Mina. I moved here a few years ago, and I'm actually originally from Turkey, so not originally from Chicago. But my question was how you both feel about the commercialization, is that a word? I don't know, about this graffiti art that's around here. I saw recently they put a whole like ad for a Netflix series as graffiti next to East Room. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it seems a lot more that now commercial companies and TV shows are starting to like use graffiti as a way to advertise. How do you guys feel about that?
Good question. And Mina, also a corner store connoisseur, right? A fan of the podcast. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for that question. Fellas?
My main concern is that when they do that there, that they don't come over there and tell me I can't do it, you know, because that calls for a permit. Through the rules of Chicago, not my rules, the city rules. So yeah, that was a good question, because I've been seeing it more where and as long as it's a local artist getting paid, I am 100% for that. But when I see that and then I get harassed over there a block away, and I got a video of a cop yelling, "This ain't art," you know,
right?
They need to work with us too.
That was at the wall that the cop did that to that kid.
Yeah.
Oh.
March, and I was on the train, and people had to come, and he received the ticket.
Yeah.
And when he received the ticket, he went to court, and we had the permit, and it was dropped, and the judge was, "Where's this cop, and why is he wasting my time?"
Trash.
So that was off.
What they should ask of every cop.
It was off cleared out, and that's the only thing that really happened.
What do you think?
I mean, it's kind of catch-22. I mean, you can pay you know, a design firm to go and design something there and put up a big giant bus vinyl, you know, and, you know, put up a sticker advertising a product, you know, that doesn't make it art.
But as a society, we accept that because, you know, an official advertising firm went and designed something and then glued it to a wall. Right. I mean, is, you know, it's like the lesser of the two evils, maybe, you know, and at least for the most part, they're paying somebody in the community to do it, you know, versus working out of a, you know, a New York office, a design firm, and then shipping the...
Bringing a wrap.
You know, there are a great many graffiti writers who are getting paid a lot of money to travel the world and install these paintings. I mean, it's they're not asking people to replicate an advertisement. That graffiti artist has... he's not from here who painted that Netflix thing. But he painted on a wall that we work with. I got no money out of it. I just want you to know that. but I gave up the wall to allow the building owner to take over. That's part of the agreement I have with the wall.
The East Room wall?
Yeah.
The back of the East Room?
It was Medill side. So that I get no income out of that, but I get, you know, the property owner, whenever he's given the opportunity to rent that space out for 4 weeks, he'll take it, and then I get it back, and then I put an artist on it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, and, you know, it's a very loaded question because a lot of these graffiti writers are doing the billboard advertisements. So, you know.
Yeah.
And does it make it less sinful if it's a design firm in New York, you know, shipping out a bus vinyl?
I mean, this is a conversation in the practice since its inception in some ways, and since it went into the gallery, and since, you know, people have taken note of it and it appeared on television. I mean, this was always kind of a question within the culture about what does it mean to, you know, sell the form when it originates by young people who have been disenfranchised, when it has been a criminalized form since its inception, and then it goes into the corporate sphere. And I think that's a question that art, you know, in the individual artist asks of themselves and wrestles with, and then makes a choice, and then, you know, we see the consequences, or we don't. You know. Any other questions for these fine, learned gentlemen?
Really? Oh.
That's how you guys feel?
Okay.
Are you guys having a good? You guys learning some stuff though? Yeah, I feel like many, many gems are sent. You have a question? I feel okay. No.
You look curious. No.
Oh. Cool. Yeah.
Well, I do want to thank when we had the problem with the wall. Kevin was one of the ones that I went for and got a letter of recommendation, advanced touring. We went and got all those tour companies that go to that wall, and none of them had a problem with giving me a letter of reference. So the pull from the community was exactly more than I expected, you know, more than I expected. So I'm hoping now we're going to be working with Billy to get him. You haven't painted on there. So we're going to be working.
Yeah,
sure that Billy gets the wall in November.
Oh, I like that.
See, so now we have like a contract because it's live. And
thank you, Flash.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
What's your name?
My name's Carly.
Hey,
Savochi.
Carly.
Hi, we're Billy. My husband and I, we actually own the bar next door, the Native.
Native.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, I know that old style, first of all, there is the most beautiful mural in the alleyway behind.
That's one of the artists right there.
Really?
Hey, Sent Rock in the building.
I remember when you did that. It was so exciting. And like, beautiful, and I'm so glad that it's still there. I was like on the phone conversation this afternoon, I was just like looking at the whole freaking time. It was awesome. I love the artwork in our neighborhood, and it means a lot to me. Anyway, I was wondering if any of you know who's, I think Old Style actually like pulled someone in to do, we have a huge back patio, and like in the back part of our patio, someone's going to do this like wicked mural, and I am just so freaking stoked about it.
Yeah, that's going to be Jake. He's coming back to town next week, And he's going to be installing a mural on your patio. It's going to be Japanese animation. Really, and it's going to include the loon and the old style. Like, oh.
Are you, like, not stoked about this? You're like, it's going to include the loon.
She called you out, bro.
It's quite a read, no. Billy.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not inferring that I am not excited by it. I was very happy to talk to Sam about that last week.
No, I just really appreciate it. And I'm sorry if it's not someone from Chicago. But,
Well, he's got strong Chicago roots.
No.
Yeah,
okay,
he paints out here all the time.
No, but do as well, and I really appreciate it. I just, like, wanted to come in here, honestly, and, like, I don't know. This is awesome.
So, well, thank you,
really
Carl.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks
thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
This is really cool.
And what...
Free drinks for Flash and Billy.
Right on. But
great, I love
like
that.
The wall that she was talking about.
I'll also take their drinks.
Endless Jameson.
As soon as you
finish
that Jameson.
Yeah, soon enough.
But the as an example, the wall that she was talking about in the alley that Saint Rock and Mosher had painted, we have great before and after photos, and it was always getting buffed for like years, just getting buffed and then tagged and buffed and tagged, and then I, on this one particular day, some. Gang graffiti of like handguns painted very poorly all over the wall. I just photographed it and then we photoshopped images of Saint Rock's work and approached the property owner and said, look, right now, you know the drill with the city, you know, buffing your walls. They're just going to paint it brown. It's like, we can put art on it and you won't see, the city won't paint your wall brown anymore.
You pulled the black sheep. You could get with this or you could get with
that.
Yeah.
And so they got with that.
Yeah.
So, and you know, almost a year now, and it's not been buffed, and it's not been tagged.
And you've taken over more space in that alley, right? I mean,
yeah, another 200 feet of wall. Max San Sing, Sabi, and Omen 74.
Yeah, just painted
this past weekend. It's really beautiful. But you know, I mean,
that was in Indiana.
Everyone thought it was in Indiana. It's in my backyard. My ass is too lazy to go to Indiana, so I bring Indiana out here.
I call my backyard Indiana.
There's more than corn in Indiana.
Yeah.
So to you know, honor B-Boy Ray's question, what is next for you all? I mean, maybe what is some of the summer hold? What are some of the things that you guys are looking forward
to? This Saturday we have a Battle of the City.
Yes.
We're going to open up the wall, and we have, if you go online and look up Battle of the City, we have seven artists with Revise is one of them. And then we do the Writer's Bench every year on August 5th, where we show all four elements. We have an all-day event where kids are breakdancing for trophies, and graffiti artists are battling with shrink wrap around the tree. And I want to do Against the Fence on every year I open up the wall during my birthday. This year I want to—I have a page we created. I want artists to come and just hang canvas on that fence.
That's dope.
Something that he comes up with all the names for all the events and nobody gives him credit. But it's stuff that we talk about in winter in the car, and he's like, "Ah, last year it was." And he comes up with the ideas, and then I go and I run with them, and then he freaks out when they're. Look, it really worked. But Battle in the City are going to be our first one. If you want to see it, it's going to be a one-day event. And then we start picking up the rotation in June.
Nice.
So,
and Billy, what do you guys have coming up?
Just more shows. A couple new properties we're trying to work on to paint some murals. So,
who do you have in the space right now? I guess just for the
right now, Anna Hasseltine. She's an amazing woodblock carver and screen printer. The work that she has on show for the next couple weeks has to do with Aesop's Fables.
Nice. And both, where can people find you on the interconnected networks?
My Instagram is flash_ABC, and my fake name on Facebook is Barry Allen.
Yeah,
we have a page for Renegades of Funk. That's really who I work with. And if you know what Renegades of Funk is, we document Chicago hip hop. We've worked with Columbia, we've worked with the Hairpin doing installations where we show Chicago graffiti history. You know, and we've been showing the early 90s, and then we did one in Hyde Park. About we gave it to Teal for Momentum, and he did a 90s show there. But we've done the 80s, 90s, and we want to keep doing our shows as people volunteer their spaces.
and Flash.
See how that worked, right?
Yeah.
See how that worked, right? Got it in there.
People come see the wall 24 hours,
yeah,
of course. Where's the wall located?
The wall's located behind Liberty Bank on Fullerton and Milwaukee. It's called Project Logan. There's 7 panels. You can see it from the blue line when you come out. That's what we learn. 80,000 people see it weekly.
Wow.
So we want to keep changing it, and we will keep changing it until they kick us out.
I wonder how many people go to the Art Institute weekly.
You know? Not 80,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
another wall that we did last year was with Logan Square. We did the Logan Square Dog Park. If you see that mural, we got over lots of dogs on there. And we're going to continue to work in Humboldt Park. Ray has a wall.
I see a DMX collab.
Ray has a wall at Division in California next to the big Humboldt Park that nobody gives him credit because everybody's looking at the big Humboldt Park. But he will put a whole summer into that. I couldn't get him over here.
The Paseo.
He's a busy guy.
The Paseo Boricua.
And yeah.
Then the guy comes and puts a big Humboldt Park and everybody forgets about Ray.
Billy, where can people find you on the interconnected networks?
My personal Instagram is Billy Craven, and that's my real name. People always, especially from the Flickr days, they're like, what's your real name? It's like, right. Billy Craven.
Billy Craven.
Yeah.
Tara Mahadevan, you already know. Okay. and then the gallery?
It's Gallery F. It's spelled the French way. So
yes.
Only one L and no Y. G-A-L. Oh, God. Ah, oh, shit.
That's Swedish fish, man. It's really...
Damn, I'm crashing. G-A-L-E-R-I-E-F as in Frank.
As in Flash.
Oh, that's what the screen printer's shop was?
E-F.
I always thought that you named it after me. I just wanted to shoot it.
Yes, Gallery Flash.
It comes out finally.
You don't know how many people.
Damn, y'all outed me here.
Yo, both you guys, thank you so much, man. Yeah, can we make some noise for both these gentlemen, man? Flash, Billy Craven. Thank you guys so much, man.
Yes. Also, shout out Max.
Yeah, Max. Thank you for securing the beers.
Yes.
Right? Where do the beers come from?
Revolution Brewing.
Yeah. Thank you, Revolution, for providing beers. Thank you, Gallery F, for hosting us tonight.
Thanks,
yeah,
Kevin.
Thank you, Tara. All right. Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Nelson for the logo and art.
Big up WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.